Hey there, I'm Nora Jones.
I'm David Coverdale.
I'm Lauren Daigle.
This is Dan and Shay. Merry Christmas.
This is Dianya Marie, and you are listening to the Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Country music singer-songwriter Dianya Marie joins us on this episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Hi, Dianya.
Hello, good morning.
Is that how you prefer to be introduced, country music singer-songwriter?
Singer-songwriter.
Singer-songwriter.
I do so many different genres, but right now I'm in the country, but I get put on alternative or adult contemporary sometimes. So,
okay.
Pop, yeah.
Singer-songwriter then. I don't know if it was an interview or an article or something where they described you as country music singer-songwriter. So I thought, well, okay. But singer-songwriter works. You know, and I know that you have recorded with so many other people in so many genres that works. And Christmas music especially is one place that you can do that and you don't get any blowback. Nobody says anything. You can do a Christmas album with country and pop and rock and on and on and on, jazz, blues, whatever, and nobody says anything. When you start to do that in non-Christmas music, the industry kind of doesn't know what to do with you.
Right.
I don't know if you've run into that yet.
Oh, yes. The niche.
Yeah. You have recorded with, I think it's said on your website, everybody from Snoop Dogg to Amy Grant, which seems like a pretty big gap there. How did you get
around?
How did you get connected to Snoop Dogg?
Well, I started off when I was 13. Let's start there. And I was with the Gospel Messengers, and they're from New York. And I started gospel. So I say you start gospel, you end country, right? But with the Snoop Dogg thing, it was the music industry. I was actually in a rock band called Aftershock, and then, you know, the rock thing and playing in bars and all that stuff was kind of fizzling away in the money wise. So I heard all these girls doing hooks and everything, and I'm like, I could do that. And those were the kind of the days you could walk into a radio station or you could walk in somewhere. And so I kind of snuck my way into Interscope a little with a friend of mine. And I said, hey, I can write hooks. I'm a fast songwriter. And they said, well, write a hook to this. And I did. And I got hired by a bunch of underground artists is what they started me with. So, and then I met Mr. Kane, Jerry. He's the one that did all those cool voices in Snoop Dogg. That one song. Yeah. And he just did all those crazy voices. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. And he says, well, I'm going to Snoop's house right now. And I said, okay, well, I'll drive you there. Because it cracked me up when people would say, I'll be rolling in my caddy and da-da, and they're like, Dianya, can I get a ride? but we went over to his house and he was just building his big house in Diamond Bar. And so he had this beautiful car outside, an old car with his wife and him that somebody had painted on it. And you walk in and he is just so domesticated because he's telling his kids, get over here, do that, you know. But it was really, really cool. He got to hear my voice and he said, we could use you on some things. And, you know, how would you like to do some hooks for us? And I was like, yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Did Snoop come first or did Amy Grant come first?
Amy. I was in my teens and it was a background vocal they needed. So I ended up in the studio. They picked me out of a choir. I used to be like in those Maranatha and those different choirs. And it was kind of interesting because they had thought that the voice they heard was another girl of a different nationality, because I kind of have like an R&B sometimes. And so they found me and they said, we need you for some background vocals for Amy Grant. And I was like, I'm there. But I didn't get the credited really because of my age, you know, the teen. So, yeah, but I loved it. I went to the Dodger Stadium when she had her show, and then I did the national anthem. So that was my first national anthem out of 16 now. So it's pretty cool.
The national anthem, I know this is supposed to be about Christmas music, but the national anthem is just one of those songs. I kind of liken it to O Holy Night and Silent Night. It's a big song that everybody knows. And if you mess it up, everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a hard song. When you're in the stands, you don't think about it. But performing for that for a huge group, that can be nerve-wracking.
Yeah, a cappella. I think the scariest one is, so I just seen the girl from Canada, and she played or sang for a hockey team, and she slipped on the ice. And then she forgot the words and she slipped on the ice again. So I had been invited to the Ontario Reigns and they said, would you sing for our hockey team? And I was like, sure. And the first thing that came through my mind is I wore high heel boots and I went, how am I going to get on the ice? Well, they put a carpet down for you. So I was okay with that, but they don't tell you when you breathe in, you have to sing slow because, you know, it goes around. And then when you breathe in, it's just all ice. So it's actually on the internet. You can see me or hear me sing it. Yeah.
Wow. And I know it wasn't like the next day, but it seems like from there to 50 million, maybe more by now, views of Calm Down Karen on TikTok.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's more now. I think it's 80. Yeah.
Wow.
It is definitely, I did, every time I do a radio tour in Nashville, Indiana, Iowa, wherever I go, they're like, and we're still getting requests for that Calm Down Karen, you know? So it's definitely a song. People remember it on TikTok. They'll do something and say, aren't you the girl? You know, I went to an Indian powwow thing, and the Indian, one of the girls that's like big with the chief or whatever, she goes, you're the girl from Calm Down Karen. I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah, I definitely was one of the songs during that time.
Is that a song that you have grown to not like as much as you did when you first did it?
It's one of those that you get scared of, thinking you don't want to be stuck to it, you know, like
right.
one hit wonder. And there, you know, there's two versions of it, and you kind of wonder which one they, you know, but it just, yeah, it was during the time. And I'm not upset that I did it. I'm glad that I did it, because it, you know, I had a bunch of friends named Karen and they cracked up. They were like, do it. I don't care. So I said, it's been Karen approved. yeah. But yeah, I'd like to kind of like be noted for other songs, you know? Yeah.
Right. But in concerts, I'm guessing that has to come up.
I'm sure. Yeah, it just, actually, when you're singing a certain genre, it doesn't really click sometimes, unless you say, you know, unless I say something maybe. But yeah, it's they're excited about all the other songs. So
I want to jump around to a different Karen Carpenter.
Yes.
You have been likened to, and did I see that you did a tribute show in Vegas as Karen Carpenter?
Yes. So it started off where I was doing just the piano bar kind of thing. And I sang Karen Carpenter. I was called Karen Carpenter. Karen Carpenter and Aunt Marie. You know, it's just, I just love that deep. I was a freshman in an a cappella choir of seniors, and I was invited to the senior recital, and I got my first trophy for doing a Karen Carpenter. You know, I love her voice. It's not screaming. It's not, you know, using such high, it's just such a, and people don't realize the notes she does are so, it's not an easy song. Her voice is not easy. You have to hit these things that are just like, we've only, you know, and just, so, we did a show, we put a big show together, and I'll send you some of the snippets if you want to hear it. But then I did Merry Christmas, Darling on a video, And people said, oh my gosh, you sound so much like. So then I redid it sounding like her, you know. But my inspiration and a lot of the things that I have of my voice mimic, I think, her, because I performed her so many times. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, on your YouTube channel, there's a couple pieces. Anyway, Close to You, yeah. We've Only Just Begun. Mm-hmm. And you did a Merry Christmas, Darling. Mm. I get a lot of Christmas songs sent to me every year for the Sounds of Christmas station. And I will get, every year I get a few versions of Merry Christmas, Darling. And it's not an easy song.
No.
And people either try to reinvent the wheel and make it something different, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, or they try to do it like Karen did, and that's dangerous ground, because that's hard. And most of the time, somebody needs to tell people, you know, you need to have somebody in your circle who will be honest with you and say, that's not doing it. But yours is, it's not a perfect copy. I don't want to say that.
No, yeah.
But it's really good. Have you thought about releasing?
Well, I do have another vocal of what I did on. I mean, the video you saw on the internet, that wasn't me mimicking her. That was my voice.
Right.
And that's when people said that, I can actually send you me singing her, and it you know, then I used the little, you know, little cool things that she does with her voice. And I kind of get in. It's weird when we were doing the actual background vocals and the vocals for the show, the microphone, the speaker, and the sound thing stopped. It wouldn't work and it wouldn't record me, and we couldn't figure out. We were using Richard Carpenter's soundboard.
Wow.
Yeah. And it just kept stopping. And I said, okay, Karen, I need to have a talk with her. So we lit candles and then I started singing and it recorded.
Wow.
It was just pretty. It was just really, really like, wow. Yeah. It was a wow moment.
Yeah. What led you from there to Missing You Under the Mistletoe?
Missing You Underneath the Mistletoe, I wrote probably around, 12 years ago. I wrote it and the ending was supposed to be a sad ending. It was very sad. And you know, I've been a widow since I was 28 years old, and it was a lot that I went through in my life as a child and everything. So, you know, everything kind of ended sad, but then I got to this moment where I could release a lot of things that happened in my life. And, I wanted a happy ending, and I wanted the song to be for people who can't be home during the holidays. You know, you have a police officer husband, you have someone in the military, you have someone, you know, someone that you've probably lost, but somebody who's still around who just can't be there. And then that's when we came up with the idea of the ending, to have him come home. So it was a song in the making.
And it's been growing in popularity every year. I was going to say I'm surprised, but I'm not, because it's a great song. But it's so rare for traditional radio to play something new. Mm-hmm. And then you add in, not only is it something new, it's not a cover song, and it's by an artist that's not a household name.
Right.
So, but none of that seems to matter with this song. It's building every year. That's got to be exciting. Right.
It is. And the cool thing about this song is, I was working with Mark Needham at the time, and we did a song called Hands. We're also doing some other songs, cool stuff coming out. But he, you know, he works for Imagine Dragons and Dolly Parton. And so he went to Kent Wells, and Kent Wells did Dolly Parton's Christmas album. And Kent Wells is like, who is this artist? And we need to record this here. So I actually recorded it at the studio where Dolly did her album. They brought in the players. So all the players in there are from Dolly. I'm taking a picture by her actual equipment. It says Dolly with her writing. And while we're doing the song, live, because we have all of the, it's an amazing studio. You're singing with the bands, you know, all these cool gems. And Dolly calls, you know, and she's on the phone and my manager's going, all I heard was, what's that song playing back there? You know? And I was just like, it's been like blessed by Dolly, you know? So it's, Dolly was all around this song.
Oh, well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything about Missing You Underneath the Mistletoe that you would want people to know, besides what we've talked about, that I didn't ask you about?
It was filmed at Fonco Studios by Fawn Davis, the director, and it won the New York Film Festival as the best music video. So it is an award-winning video. And from that video, I must say... They do put on some pounds, but I did put on some pounds and I lost weight because of that video. And that's when I wrote, you know, if you don't like this body, somebody will. Because when I wrote that song, people are like, wait a minute, you've never been. But I tell people, go back to my Christmas video. You know, so, you know, things that happen in my life end up being, you know, a little bit of my writing now, too. So.
So because I'm a Christmas music junkie, I have to ask, and since there's stuff on your YouTube channel of other Christmas songs, it makes me wonder if you have more Christmas music perhaps on the way next year.
We are talking about a Christmas album. I do sing things, you know, like songs. We do something for kids with disabilities every year at the Burbank Tennis Center. And I sing traditional, but we do it kind of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. So I do a little thing with it. So I'm going to do some traditional with some, you know, Dionya Karen. And then we'll, you know, do some other songs that I wrote, some cute ones about Santa. Because I, you know, Santa's one of my really good friends. So, yeah.
It's a good friend to have.
He is.
You've worked with a bunch of breast cancer awareness groups as well. Stand Up and Live Strong and I Know I'm Beautiful are a couple songs that you've done with them. Have you released those?
The Stand Up and Live Strong, it was released during, it's very interesting, the whole thing about that, but I sang that, I wrote that song, and somebody from Susan G. Cumming got a hold of me and said, would you mind singing that song for our raising of the rose? And that's such a big part of it. It's all people who have survived from a year to 5 years to, you know, people that are recovering. And Olivia Newton-John was there, and she had done her song in one of those years. And I sang that song, and then her and I had talked, and she said something about that's such a powerful song. And I said, well, thank you so much. And she said, it's really hard for people to understand what people, you know, others are going through. Cause I had family who had breast cancer, and it really hit me. It's almost like I have to do something when something, you know what I mean? When something occurs, I did the song for Katrina, when the Katrina hurricane, when there was another hurricane thing, Ambrosia, and the Steve Miller Band asked me to come up and sing, you know, so I love the causes are something for me. Every year they still play Stand Up and Live Strong at the Raising of the Torch. Of the Rose, I'm sorry, Raising of the Rose. And then I Know I'm Beautiful will be released maybe next year, but it's definitely a song about women sitting in front of the mirror and they have no hair. They have no eyelashes, you know? And, you know, I look in the mirror, what do I see? A reflection of someone? Could it be me? You know? And then they just say, I know I'm beautiful. You know, just the way God made me. So it's just an inspiration type thing.
Yeah, very powerful.
Thank you. There's a video of that too, Stand Up and Live Strong. And Susan G. Komen allowed me to do that video and post it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
I'll make sure I put a link to that. Well, I'll probably just put a link to your... That's on your YouTube channel?
Yes.
Okay. I'll make sure to put a link to that down in the show notes so everybody can find that, as well as your Christmas music and the shorts we were talking about. What do you have on tap for 2026 that you can talk about?
So I have a working with a lot of children who have been through a lot of the divorce part, bringing children into things that shouldn't be brought into, letting children just be children. I wrote a song that was produced by Mark Needham, and it's called Don't Blame the Child. And that will be a powerful song for next year. And then we're working on an EP with Ted Russell Camp. And it's a lot of really cool country songs that we're putting together and producing. And so, yeah, we have a lot of songs coming out next year. EP, possible album, Christmas. So very busy.
Yeah, very busy. That sounds great. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask that you want people to know?
Yeah, I came from, I have a picture on my phone, and it's a picture of me when I was little, and it shows where I've come from, because we didn't have anything. I mean, it was a time where, we didn't even have food. And it was, I came from a very, very neglected background. And, you know how they say that you try to save the younger you, right, for what you've been through. And I think that songwriting has been a gift given to me by God to let me tell people I've been through something and I've survived it. And, we are strong enough to survive things that we feel that are like so tumultuous. I did something for 10 women. We took them off the streets and we gave them makeovers and all this stuff. And this woman looks at me and she says, "Is this on your bucket list that you have to do?" And I stopped and I took off my makeup because I have scars. And I showed her and I said, "No, I went through a horrible time in my life, marriage, everything." And I said, "I have to give back from what I've been through. Otherwise, it would be for nothing," right? So I just try to encourage people, you've been through something, just make it an experience that you can grow from and help others with, So I know that's a hard thing because a lot of people say you're a different person, you're a different breed, but I just want to let people know that they are strong. They're strong enough.
It's so helpful, especially at this time of year, for people to know that they're not alone. They're not the only one that bad stuff has happened to.
Right.
Especially when it's Christmas time and everybody, it seems like everybody is a couple. Everybody is having a wonderful time. Everybody has tons of money they're splashing around. And a lot of times you feel like everybody except me. Mm-hmm. And to know that, to bring it back around to missing you underneath the mistletoe, it's about giving people hope too.
Right.
That, this isn't forever and you're not the only one.
Right.
And it's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay.
So what is the best way for people to connect and keep up with you? Is it social media the best way? Is it your website?
Yeah, social media, my website. I would say more of my probably YouTube. I have a bunch of YouTube shorts that are really fun. Dionya, Dionya Marie. My Instagram, TikTok, I'm having a lot of fun on that. Just mostly my social media. I do have a website up, though, if you want to click onto that. It's the same thing, dionyamarie.com.
Are there links on your website to all your social media stuff?
Yes, there's a link tree. There's a link tree attached to every social media that I have, which is I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I just got on Lemonade. I thought it was Lemonade. And it's social media is such a, you have to be personable because they'll say, "Oh, isn't it nice that you have someone talking for you on your social media?" And for me, it's like, no, it's me. So if somebody, sees stuff, that's me. I post it and put it down because I want to be personable. I want people to know that that's me. And I like to have fun and I like to be serious. And I like to, for people to know who I am. So. I'll be at NAMM this year. So anybody that's going to be at NAMM in Anaheim, I will be at NAMM this year. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the next chance everybody has to come see you. Or the next chance you have to see everybody.
Yeah. It's like a high school reunion there.
Very cool. Well, I'll make sure to put a link to your website and probably your link tree so everybody can find whatever it is exactly that they're looking for down in the show notes. And I cannot wait to get your Christmas album next year, maybe.
I hope so. I can't, you know what? Like I said, I do Christmas songs all the time and we're expected with Santa every December. So yeah, it's about time, right?
Well, I think so. But then I always think so.
Yeah. Well, so. Mark Needham, Kent Wills, let's do it. he even said that. He goes, let's just do a Christmas album. I'm like, let's do it. Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. Well, I look forward to hearing that. And thank you for taking some time to talk today about all of this stuff. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and that 2026 is amazing for you.
Oh, yes. I will be talking to you probably then. We'll have another podcast together. Great to meet you. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And I'll put a link to that down in the show notes. So you can just click on that, pick out your favorite, click on over, and then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.